I hate it when you do that.
Hey, fear not, my friend. I bring you good news of... Okay, no news, just coffee.
Thanks. Decaf, right?
Yep, got you the unleaded stuff.
I keep telling you, you gotta cut back on the caffeine.
What's the real stuff gonna do? Shorten my lifespan? Want me to cut down? I can cut down.
Hey, come on, cut it out.
Chill, bro. I'm just having a little fun. What is it with you and these people anyway?
What do you mean?
I don't know, it just seems like you like them or something. I mean, personally, I don't know what you see in them. I don't know what the boss sees in them. I mean, they're not exactly the sharpest tools in the shed, right?
I'm aware they've had their moments. Still.
Oh, haven't you heard the latest?
Oh, I've been on assignment.
Check this out. He wants to become one of them.
One of who?
You know, them.
He does?
I know. It's weird, right?
So, what? He's gonna become a president or something like that?
No, see, that's the even crazier part, is he's gonna come as a baby. He's even got the parents picked out. They're no one special. They're not even married yet. Do you realize that means that he's gotta get born? Like a human birth. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, well, he's always doing stuff you don't expect.
You know what? I think it's a bad idea. Coming down as a baby? Doesn't he know what they're like? I mean, who knows what they'll do to him?
I bet he's got a plan. He always does.
Besides, we won't let anything bad happen to him.
You really think they're worth the risk? You can never tell what humans are gonna do next. One minute they're like, oh, save me, Lord, I'll do anything. And the next minute, they're sneaking off, going to do the same thing that got them into trouble in the first place. They're so... Ugh.
I get what you're saying. I do. But you know, as I've watched them, I've seen something. I've seen compassion, joy, a sense of wonder. And yeah, they're broken and messed up, and they need someone to save them from themselves. So are they worth the risk? I don't know. I guess. But it doesn't really matter what we think. All that really matters is what he thinks. And he thinks they're worth it.
We are, of course, just a few short days away from celebrating Christmas. Many have a long list of things to do. There's no shortage of busyness during this holiday season. And as we look around, we see all the signs of Christmas, this Christmas season. You won't travel far without seeing lights and decorations and things that add to the festivities this time of year. And our thoughts and our plans are filled with really what's in front of us, or what's in front of us to do, all that makes up Christmas, decorations and gifts and food and shopping and wrapping and mailing and family, and the list goes on and on. And we look around and we see there's much to do. And there's so much that in our looking around, we often forget to look up. And the truth is, you could go through an entire Christmas season with all that it entails without giving much thought to Christ at all. In fact, I suspect many do. It's only when we look up do we see the real reason and purpose for the celebration. And if we look up, if we pay close attention, it will seem that God is looking down. The title of the video I just played is The View from Above, and it portrays that I guess would be angels, one following God's heart, one not, one perhaps Satan, but you know, they're looking down and surveying people, and one of them only sees despair and failure. The other sees hope, at least hope that what God seems to see makes it all worth it. In fact, he says that people are worth it. We look around, and when we look around, what we see is often not very pretty. In the midst of our holiday celebration and the decorations and all the festivities, there's a lot of pain and despair in our world. There's no shortage of hopelessness for many. And it seems like it gets worse every week. This past week, as people were getting ready for the morning, they stopped to get morning coffee in Sydney, and you surely saw the news, but a terrorist took control of the place, and after six long hours, three people were dead, including the terrorist. Following day seven, Taliban gunmen stormed a school in Pakistan and commenced a devastating attack that left 148 people dead, mostly children. And last night, you may have seen the news that two police officers were virtually assassinated in New York City as they pulled up to a call and they sat in their car. As Scripture had predicted, evil is increasing. Is there any hope? And that's a question I think that's been on the people's minds and lips since the fall of man. Is there really any hope? I believe it was on the minds and lips of the people that lived in the culture that Jesus came and came into. Writer and editor Sherwood Word captured the mood at the time of Christ's entrance into the world in a Christmas card he sent to a friend, Ray Steadman, both Christian-involved publicist. He wrote this back in 1973. He wrote this in his card. The people of that time were being heavily taxed and faced every prospect of a sharp increase to cover expanding military expenses. The threat of world domination by a cruel, ungodly, power-intoxicated band of men was ever just below the threshold of consciousness. Moral deterioration had corrupted the upper levels of society and was moving rapidly into the broad base of the populace. Intense nationalistic feeling was clashing openly with new and sinister forms of imperialism. Conformity was the spirit of the age. Government handouts were being used with increasing lavishness to keep the population from rising up and throwing out the leaders. Interest rates were spiraling upward in the midst of an inflated economy. External religious observances were considered a political asset. An abnormal emphasis was being placed upon sports and athletic competition. Racial tensions were at the breaking point. In such a time and amidst such a people, a child was born to a migrant couple who had just signed up for a fresh round of taxation and soon would become political exiles. And the child who was born are called, amongst other things, Emmanuel, God with us. At first, it doesn't sound like much has changed, does it? Sounds like that could be written this week. At first glance, when you look around, it doesn't seem like things have changed that much at first glance. When we look around, we see the clear evidence of the fall of man. In fact, Scripture talks about what happens with the fall of man. What happened to my little button here? First Scripture we see in Jeremiah 17:9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Jesus said, out of Mark, he writes it, for from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Over 2,000 years ago, some shepherds were tending their flock. And they were tending them, we know the story, in the dark of the night. And I find it interesting that the darkness of the night symbolized the darkness of man's heart and hopelessness that pervaded the world. This is the world that they lived in. And we read that story, and we find it every year in Luke chapter 2. We read it almost as if it's a Christmas story and forget that it is, in fact, Scripture. So let's Look at the account in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." On a dark night in a dark world, the glory of God brought light, truth, and hope. Imagine the scene, if you will. Verse 8 says, "And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." From that moment, that night, everything changed. Everything. A hopeless world became filled with hope. And we know this not just because of what history has said and what the rest of Scripture says, but we know it in part from what the angels proclaimed that night to the shepherds, the same proclamation he says to you and to me today. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." Oop, I think I got ahead of myself here. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Behold, I bring good news of great joy to you personally. A Savior, the Messiah, the long-awaited promise is born. To God be the glory, and to you peace, favor, delight, and the blessings of God. That's the proclamation of that night. And you know, when Jesus came, think about it, he came into that dark world and he came into an Old Testament society. Man was burdened and oppressed. Life was busy and hectic. On a dark night in a dark world, the glory of God brought light, truth, and hope. And even the way God announced the birth of the Messiah proved the world that hope had arrived. The hope of the world had arrived. The first promise we find in verse 9, "And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid." In the darkness of night, a bright light entered the picture. But it wasn't just this bright light. An angel of the Lord stood before them. But notice where the light came from. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Let's not miss what's happening here. In this Old Testament society, only the high priest could come into the very presence of God when he came into the Holy of Holies, only once per year. And an angel stood before common shepherds. And the radiance of God's glory surrounded them. We saw the nativity scenes, we saw little, you know, scenes depicting this, and it's hard to imagine in a dark night an angel appearing before you, but the very presence of God, the glory of God surrounding you. And if that wasn't enough, I mean, I think that's pretty dramatic right there. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. This multitude of hosts lit up, I believe, the sky. Can you imagine the picture? Scriptures confirm that the shepherds immediately went and found the Savior. And for the shepherds, this was a life-changing event. Their life would never be the same after that evening, never. They had met the Savior. Imagine the hope that filled their hearts. They knew the culture they lived in. They knew the darkness of the world. And they had met literally the hope of the world, the Messiah. And I believe when you truly meet Jesus, your life should never be the same again. Your life should change when you meet the Savior. And it should grow for the better. In a dark and fallen world, God announced through his angels that his intention was and is that the favor of God and the peace of God should rest on men. And to God be the glory. That's his message to you today as well. The favor of God, the peace of God, the blessings of God should rest on you. In all that you have, in all the busyness of what you do. And why is it that in the busyness of this season and the demands of the season, one of the first things we lose is our peace? You know, there's so much to do. There's so much happening. It's overwhelming. We've all been there. Did we forget something? Did we get this? What about that? I mean, it just gets kind of crazy. And when we lose our peace, we become anxious, fearful, discouraged, all which leads to feelings of hopelessness. We see many characters in the Christmas story, if you will. There's Mary and Joseph, there's the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, of course, Jesus. And every one of them, each of them brings in an individual story of their own. We can learn from every one of them. But there are a couple other people that we never see in a nativity scene or on a Christmas card, but perhaps we should. They really are part of the Christ Mass, the Christmas story. We find them in the Gospel of Luke. We find them in chapter 2, just a couple of verses after the shepherds came. They leave the stable. And it's about a month and a half later we find these couples. The verse is immediately following it, but it's really about a month and a half after they visited the stable. The Old Testament law required a sacrifice be brought to the temple when a male child was born. And so Mary and Joseph go to the temple, and they bring a very poor offering because they're very poor. The least that was permitted, they bring. And they come to the temple out of obedience to the law to sacrifice this for the male child. And as they enter in there, we pick this up in Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the priest brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Luke mentions that Simeon, and we will see in a moment, Anna, had been waiting. I mean, the Christmas season, especially for kids, seems all about waiting. We're waiting for a gift. We're waiting for something. And the scripture says they were waiting. And the word for Simeon means that he says waiting means waiting with expectation it will happen. It means looking forward to. It's waiting, but it's waiting to happen. They're believing it's going to happen. They're looking forward to. And scripture says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which means he was waiting for the promised Messiah. There was an expression back then. And it literally means the comfort of Israel. He's waiting for the Messiah, which shall be the comfort of Israel. And and Israel have been struggling for some time. I mean, they haven't heard from God in many years at this point. The prophets had been quiet. They had been in captivity under the Roman rule and under the dictates of cruel King Herod. They had been struggling for some time. Would the Messiah ever come? Is there any hope? The Holy Spirit had promised Simeon that he would see the Messiah before his lifetime had ended. He will see him. And among the Jews of Simeon's day was a popular title of the Messiah, and the Messiah the Comforter. And he had expected the comfort that Christ would bring. And you know, comfort is a universal thing. How many of you enjoy being uncomfortable? None of us. We do everything we can to be comfortable in every aspect of our life. We want to be comfortable. And there's so many challenges we go through. And there are times we feel lonely, fearful, empty, insecure, desperate, hurt. I mean, add to the list. All of which we hunger for comfort. We hunger for a release from those feelings of pain and emotions. The Holy Spirit promised Simeon he would live to see the Christ. And in a very beautiful way the Holy Spirit does, he prompted Simeon to go to the temple. Scripture says, according to the Spirit, by the leading of the Spirit, being in the translation, it was time, Simeon, go to the temple. Be obedient, go to the temple. So he goes. He sees the baby Jesus, who's now about 6 weeks old, and he knew the wait was over. God's promise had been kept. Here was Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, in the presence of the Savior, all fear vanishes, rejection is done away with, and the comfort of his presence is beyond anything the world has to offer. Hope had arrived. Hope had arrived. And Simeon knew what this meant for all mankind. He picks the baby up and begins to praise God. I wonder what Mary and Joseph thought. In fact, the scripture says they marveled at the things that were said. And he picks the baby up, he begins to praise God, and he proclaims Jesus, he said, is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel. I said, scripture says Mary and Joseph marveled at what Simeon said. And just about that time, we meet Anna. Verse 36. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Can you imagine this woman? She never left the temple, worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna, too, was waiting, looking forward with expectation. She was waiting for forgiveness. She was looking forward to the Savior just as Simeon was, but with a different slant. She knew the Messiah would bring redemption and would bring forgiveness. Of course, redemption means to redeem something, to buy it back. And it carries with it here the idea of captivity, to be bought back from captivity. And the Messiah would arrive, he had arrived, and would ultimately pay the price for our sins, buy us back, and deliver us from the slavery of sin. And he'll do it through forgiveness, through the power and grace of God. We no longer live in the world of the Old Testament. The comfort of the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness and hope of Christ is here. And when we get caught up in the craziness of all that surrounds this season, it's easy to forget that. The hope, the promise, the comfort, the forgiveness. Some of you may be able to relate to Simeon. You're hurting right now. Maybe you're feeling lonely, afraid. Maybe you're maxed out. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe some of those things are going through you with you. See, God promises relief and comfort. Holy Spirit is the comforter. It is a promise from God. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, the comforter, would come, and he has. Perhaps you're feeling what Anna saw and so many others, the need for forgiveness. Are you plagued with guilt? Maybe you're trapped in a pattern of sin that holds you back, that seems to repeat itself over and over. Something you've done a long time ago, you can't let go, and you're plagued with this guilt. Jesus offered forgiveness and deliverance. And we so often forget that. We're racing towards Christmas morning. Let's purpose not to forget the message of the angels. On a dark night in a dark world, the glory of God brought light, truth, and hope. Christmas season is a wonderful time to be reminded that hope is found in Christ and Christ alone. I've said many times that we can have peace with God. We can know Christ. That's the only way you'll ever have peace with God. That your sins can be forgiven. You can have peace with God through the shed blood of Christ. And in that peace with God, you can, if you're not careful, and we all do it from time to time, lose the peace of God. We have our salvation. We know we're seated with Christ. We get that. But we don't have the peace of God. We lose that peace. Peace with God is only found in Christ and the forgiveness provided by the cross. The peace of God is found by abiding in Christ, being with him, by living in and for him every day. The peace of God is found in the person and the presence of the Savior. When you get into the presence of God, the peace of God resides with it. When we lose our peace, we lose our hope. When we lose our hope, we lose our peace. And hope is a wonderful thing. Hope brings excitement, brings hope, encourages. Hope can bring peace. The hope of Christ is far different than the hope of the world. The world's hope is, oh, I hope so. I'm not sure, I don't know for sure, but I hope so, maybe. God wants you to be hopeful, but with his hope. Because his hope looks forward. His hope looks upward. His hope looks to tomorrow. His hope brings reassurance. His hope brings peace, confidence, knowledge of who he is. Paul writes in Romans chapter 15, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I'll take that for Christmas. Put that under the tree. May the God of hope, that's who God is, fill you with all joy and peace. Isn't that what we sing about? Joy to the world, peace on earth. I mean, isn't that the Christmas anthem, so to speak? May the God of hope fill you, full of the brim, with all joy and peace in believing, that you abound, that you overflow, you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, you know, that's Paul's prayer to us, and that's God's desire for you today. This is where we should be living. Emmanuel, God with us, his promises that we can live this life. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of your adversary wear away the promise. Take the knowledge of the promise and wears it away. And it's coming into the presence of God that renews the promise and hope. Coming once again into God's presence and saying, this hope is real, it's true. The comfort is there, the forgiveness is there, the joy is there, the peace is there, the mercy is there. When the angels left the shepherds, they had a choice to make. They could have said, which I'd imagine we probably would have, wow, that was really something. I've never experienced anything like that. I don't think I'm going to sleep all night. Wow. I mean, what can they say? What are you going to say? You're surely going to talk about it. They could have done that, and they could have just sat there and, wow. They did much more than that. They immediately left, Scripture said. With haste, they went to see more. They ran after the presence of God, sought the Savior. We can do the same thing. Seek the presence of God. Run after the presence of God. Renew our hope in Him every day. The scriptures did not miss what God had for them that night. Many did. The innkeeper did. Can you imagine finding out that the birth of the Messiah was right outside your door, so to speak, and you missed it? Wow. Herod certainly missed it. Many others missed it. I never want to miss what God has for me. And I never want to be without hope. Emmanuel, God with us, reminds us that we have light, truth, and hope. If the Christmas season does anything for us, it reminds us that we're to live in that world, that we're filled with hope, that the Messiah, Emmanuel, is with us, that if we need forgiveness, we need to be washed clean, we need redemption, we need hope restored, that He desires to do that. We need to live in that every day. And if nothing else, if our yearly Christmas craziness does nothing else but remind us of that, then it's all worth it. If we get caught up in everything, all the trappings, we're going to miss what God wants for us. I don't think He has a problem with Christmas. I think He has a problem with the extravagance and problem about forgetting who it's really all about. I said for a long time that, you know, the expression is Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's well said, because so many have so much to do, they don't even want you to say Merry Christmas anymore. They don't want a Christmas tree, they want a holiday tree. All that stuff. I mean, you know, Christ is the reason for the season. That's the Christ Mass, yes. But I often feel that if you ask Jesus what the point was of the season, He'd say, you're the reason for the season. Unto you a Savior was born. To glory be to God, and hope and peace and favor rest on mankind. I invite the worship team to come forward. We started with a video of men looking down on the people in the streets, and we often get this picture of God looking down on us. That's it. God's in heaven. He's looking down on us. And Christmas reminds us that God is not looking down on us. Emmanuel, God with us. There's such a big difference from God sitting, and I'm not saying He's not in heaven, but sitting in His glorious of heaven, looking down at the little people, and God saying, I'm with you. Unto us a Savior is born. Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, with you. This season, so many put up decorations and lights both inside and out their homes. They have lights all around them, but miss the light of Christ that is offered to them. I think as believers, we need to be like Anna. She was waiting for the forgiveness that God had promised. When she saw that He had arrived, she said, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem. She spoke about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. There's a world full of people out there looking for forgiveness. They're hungry for the peace with God. Go tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the real meaning of Christmas. Be a hope spreader, a redeemer announcer. Spread the light of Christ. The heart of man may be dark, but Jesus wants to bring life and light into the hearts of men. And He says people have value. The people are worth it. Let's stand and worship our God this morning.